Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Catholic Connection Monday through Friday at this very time. And thanks for tuning in, of course, to the wonderful Sunrise at Morning Show every morning with my good friend Matt Swaim, who also happens to be very involved in the beautiful EWTN TV program, The Journey Home. Highlights from The Journey Home on Mondays. All right, you're telling me there's a doozy of a backstory and a doozy of a guest tonight in a very good way. Do fill us in. Good morning.
Okay, so as you know, Anna Mitchell's on maternity leave, and so I've been scrambling and doing all kinds of fun stuff. And I was looking back through because I was trying to remember all the details of how this one shook out. So here you go. The Coming Home Network, we work with Protestant pastors who are becoming Catholic, but we also work with other people, missionaries, for example, who become Catholic. And Terry and Renee Wartz were missionaries, medical missionaries, in the Pentecostal world to Kazakhstan for a number of decades. And they were kind enough to write up their conversion story for one of our new newsletters a few years back. And so they were in our world. But then we got a prayer request back in 2023, and I'm going to read what Terry wrote us on February 2nd of that year. This comes all across our Coming Home Network prayer request chat, you know. And so Terry wrote, "I've been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. We moved back to Michigan, but I had a heart attack 2 days before closing, so my wife had to go alone during my heart catheterization. I have inoperable multivessel coronary artery disease. I'm now at home on hospice care. I hope my heart gives out before my brain does. Any messages you want to send to Jesus, I'll beat you to him." Signed, Terry.
Oh, my goodness.
So Terry was in hospice. He was anointed, and the priest basically said, you know, may the angels lead you to paradise. So I got a an email in May of this year from Adrienne Price, Tom Price's wife.
Right, right.
And she said, "Hey, I don't know if you know about these folks, but there's this really cool medical missionary couple, Dr. Terry and Renee Wartz. You should have them on The Journey Home." And I was like, "Well, I would love to, Adrienne, but I'm sorry to say Terry passed away a couple of years ago." And Adrienne said, "No, he didn't." I'm like, "What?" apparently, Terry bounced back. Healthy as a horse. She said, "Are you kidding me? He's doing Pilates. He's not doing triathlons, but he's doing pretty great." I was like, "Well, let me talk to Terry." So I reached out to Terry and Renee, who have this miraculous story of recovery. So not only do they have this really cool testimony
of
decades in Pentecostal medical missions and becoming Catholic, but they also have this story about how they were getting ready to line the casket for Terry, and Terry came back. So it's a pretty cool thing to be able to share that piece of it. But it also shows you that God's timing is perfect. Like, if we had gotten Terry and Renee on back when they first gave us their written story, it would have been a cool story. But not as cool as Terry surviving hospice.
That's
wild.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you have both stories in one episode then.
Right, we do. And they tell it together. So we get, Terry's side of, what it was like to basically say goodbye to everybody, and Renee's story of what it was like to basically say goodbye to Terry. And here they are. Here they are.
Amazing.
But, they come from the Pentecostal world, and they worked in medical missions. So one of the cool things about their story that comes out is just, when you work in medical missions, I don't know if you've met any medical missionaries. Sisters often are involved in this work around the world. They operate on a shoestring, and sometimes they sew people up with a shoestring. And so they are doing all kinds of wild medical assistance for families in need in really remote parts of the world. And they see miracles all the time in that work. They take kind of their little skills that they can apply on whatever supplies that they have, and God sometimes, kind of breaks through in incredible situations. So there's going to be a lot of that in tonight's episode.
So, and I don't want to give it away because we want people to tune in, but do you have any idea like how quick his recovery was? Literally came back to life more or less, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly the full details on that. All I know is that in February of 2023, they were saying goodbye to Terry, and it is November of 2025, and he's on television tonight.
Unbelievable.
So you got that.
I'm still trying to process this. It's like he was literally saying goodbye to everybody. He's literally on his deathbed, and all of a sudden you hear that he's fine. He's doing Pilates. He's
good. Adrienne told me that he had 20% heart function and was in hospice. He had something called Lewy body dementia, or they thought he did. Apparently, they don't know because they can only confirm it in an autopsy. But luckily, they didn't have to do one. So wow. There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, what I think is so great about that is that you've got, as you said, you've got the combination of their conversion, but then you have this miracle story. And if people tune in, if they tune in during the conversion time, you know, Mother Angelica used to always talk about people, you know, with the remotes and just kind of scanning through the channels. So at any time in that conversion story, any time in this episode tonight, it's going to be like
there's
amazing.
A couple of
it doesn't
hooks.
Matter where you turn in.
There's a couple right? of hooks. You know, the yeah. other thing too, so Terry and Renee's story is in the book that we just put out this summer, Journeys Home 3, which is all stories of Pentecostals and Charismatics who came home to the Catholic faith. And one of the coolest parts of that project was finding the different ways that Pentecostals and Catholics kind of speak the same language on certain things so that we mm-hmm. can find those commonalities. And I don't know how much you've sort of traveled in apologetic circles, but there are a lot of Protestant denominations who are what we'd call cessationist. So Lutherans and some of the Reformed groups would say that the spiritual gifts and miracles kind of ceased after the apostles. Well, there's two main groups of Christians who definitely believe that God is still doing miracles. And those two groups are the Catholics and the Pentecostals. So this idea of an openness to the miraculous is something that we have very much in common with Pentecostal Christians. So I'm wondering if that will have some sort of a resonance with any mm-hmm. Pentecostals who might be watching tonight.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think the two churches are close in that area?
Well, there's one big factor, and I would say the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about this. This is the Pentecostals' like battle cry is they're all about the Holy Spirit doing crazy stuff all the time. And here we are, you know, in the Catholic Church where we believe that the Holy Spirit assists at a miracle on every altar at every Mass. We sit here and have committees at the Vatican that are processing miracles all day, every day. Mm-hmm. We got one of the most visited pilgrimage sites in the world at Lourdes in France, where people go for miracles. So it is sort of part and parcel of their world and part and parcel of ours.
Do you find in the years that you've been doing this show, Matt, that so many people, even if they're, let's say they're interested in conversion stories, maybe they're converts themselves, but do you find that you have cradle Catholics who just happen to be tuning in and find themselves refreshed and revived in the faith because of what they've heard or seen?
All the time. As a matter of fact, I hear from them sometimes more than the converts because often what they are doing is they're finding themselves refreshed and revived, but they're looking around and their spouse has not been refreshed and revived yet, or their kids or grandkids have not been refreshed and revived, or their parents, perhaps not. And this is really a shot in the arm because, you know, if you come back to faith, I know this was the case for you, it doesn't mean that everybody in your family came back to faith at the same time.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. You know? So you got to figure out, you know, how do you explain, even as a Catholic revert or as a lukewarm Catholic who caught fire, you still have to explain things in a way that's similar to what a Catholic convert has to explain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some of that's going to be happening at Thanksgiving, too. Yeah. You know, some of these folks are
coming
back.
We're going to talk about that with Ray today. Yeah. We're going to talk about how much do you bring up? How much do you avoid? Is it a good time? Is it a bad time? How do you handle it? It's still that question. I don't think we could explore it enough because you don't want to lose people. Sometimes you just tell them, hey, tune into The Journey Home or, you know, tune into this or tune into that. It's so difficult. It's such a challenge all the time.
Well, and what I would say is one little piece of advice is that mm-hmm. maybe going into Thanksgiving this week, you think that you've got to be the one doing all the talking to push your agenda. Maybe it could be that this is the year that you listen. And somebody yep. has all kinds of preconceived notions about what Catholics think and what Catholics think about them specifically. And then maybe right. they'll walk away and say, huh, Teresa's crazy, but you know what? She listened to me.
You have to say I was crazy, right? Yeah, well, she's a little cuckoo, a little off her rocker.
If you weren't crazy, you wouldn't be good on radio.
That's true. Yeah. Well, listen, I want to wish you and your family a beautiful Thanksgiving. And any update on Annie yet with the baby? Do we know anything?
None. I told her every time she texts me, I get freaked out because I think it's going to be about the baby, but it's always about something, you know, benign and normal.
Well,
I'll let you know.
We want the exclusive. Okay,
I will let you know.
Please. Yeah, yeah. So I've been praying for her and everything.
You got some new cheeks to squeeze soon, Teresa.
I got some, but they're all getting so big. Roma is like, how old is Roma? Like 9 or 10 now?
They're old people now.
Old people. Well, listen, you have a great, great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Enjoy with the family. And, of course, give Annie our love. Annie, if you're listening, we're praying for you. And can't wait to meet your new baby. We'll be right back. Hope you're having a great Monday, November 24th, the week of Thanksgiving. Here we come. Holiday season is upon us just about. And someone who can help us deal with it and many of the frustrations that come with it and dealing with family is our very own Dr. Ray Grendy from The Doctor Is In, of course, from EWTN. His many books, his excellent counseling. He is a psychologist, and he joins us this morning. Hey, how are you? Happy early Thanksgiving.
Hey, T. Good to talk to you.
Same here. Okay. So we were talking a little bit about this with my last segment with Matt Swaim. We were both saying maybe we don't go in with guns ablazing. Well, we shouldn't go in with guns ablazing ever, but maybe we don't go in with talking. Maybe we just listen, greet everyone, give them a hug, sit down for a nice meal, and let the conversation go where it's going to go. What are your thoughts on how we approach it? Are we getting any better at this, do you think?
Several things, T.
Okay.
First of all, any holiday gathering is time limited. And there's an inverse rule. The shorter the time, the easier you can get through it. If you know it's only going to last 3 hours, you don't have to challenge, do all the things that you might do because, oh, I haven't seen you for a month and you're starting already. No, no, it's time limited. You could be cordial for a period of time. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, now you and I are 100% Italian.
Mm-hmm.
That means that at least in our table, there are 19 conversations going on at the same time, all about 110 decibels, which is about the size of a jet engine when you're standing 3 feet away from it. So you can pick out which conversations you want to get involved in. If I want to go with Uncle Fred and talk about his new Subaru and why it's so much better in gas mileage than my Buick, I can. I don't have to go jumping in over there with Aunt Felicity talking about her kid who just got married to a guy named Snake, and he's an atheist, which is okay with her. All right, so we don't have to do that. That's two. Three, I do like the idea of listening, but here's where I diverge from that. You and I are old enough to know the series Columbo, right?
Yep.
He was brilliant. He looked puzzled. He looked confused. And what he did is he made people underestimate him. You can do that in a conversation. If somebody says, well, this present administration is blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, you Catholics, one thing I don't understand about you Catholics, blah, blah, blah. You look puzzled. Kind of put your hand to your forehead like he did. You look puzzled. And you ask. You say, well, what is it? What is it you don't understand? Well, blah, blah, blah. Now, what they just said was ridiculous. It was utterly ridiculous. You know it was ridiculous. You don't say something like, where you get your facts from? Where are you hearing that from? No, 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 no. So how did you come to that conclusion? I'm curious. I just want to know. In other words, what you're doing is you're putting them at ease because you're saying, please explain yourself to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the difference. You're not quick to dispute. You're going to ask a follow-up question. Like, you know, T, you're a journalist. You know how to do that. So you just do it. Now, here's the difference. When you ask these questions, you'll find that most people have not thought out with any degree of depth
right. What
they think about something. They haven't. They have their opinion, and it's usually a soundbite or it's a cliche stereotype. When you ask them to explain it, let them sound stupid to themselves. You don't need to help them. And here's the other thing to do. This is so critical. And this, there's good news and bad news on this, T. First of all, I think it's a wonderful way to get somebody to explain themselves, but it also will make them mad. So here's what I'm saying. If you dispute them, it becomes an I say, you say, I say, you say. And they can simply stand their ground and say, well, your opinion is no better than mine.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you use their thinking back on themselves, that's when they get really upset. So you got to be careful, because when somebody thinks they're sounding stupid and you are very innocently not trying to dispute them, you're just trying to simply say, so where did you get the information for that? Well, I saw it on blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, what makes you think it's true? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, I guess if you think that way, that I could see how you'd be mad. That's all you're doing. I think a little bit of skill to do that.
Right. Question along with that, I think it makes sense if you're able to do that calmly. But when you're in a situation where is somewhat of a pressure cooker, because let's say you haven't seen this person with whom you're having this conversation for a while, and you know where they come from, maybe politically or faith-wise or no faith at all, is it worth it to pursue the line of questioning? Or do you say, you know what, I'm not sure how you came up with that decision, but let's talk after the holiday. Let's, you know, talk when we have more time to kind of sort through this stuff. Would that be a good approach?
Sure. Sure, that's a great option. But here's another thing. You're not as old as me, despite the fact that I tease you constantly about your mm-hmm. centennial age. All right. Mm-hmm. So given that, I am now getting to the point in my life where much of my interchange with other humans is, get off my lawn. Okay. So, here's what I would say to keep your cool during the holiday. You ready?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right.
When we get
totally
upset,
agree.
When we get upset about the way other people think, we're really saying, in many respects, now again, it could be a little different with religion, but in many respects, what we're saying is, it's kind of disrespectful to me because they're disputing how I think, or they're making the way I think look stupid, or they're putting down the way I think. And if you make this personal, you're going to get irate. It's just a short step. If you think to yourself, well, anybody can think the way they want to think, and it's kind of tragic that they think that way, but I'm not going to take this holiday time to do anything to challenge that.
Right.
One thing neat about being a shrink, you hear an awful lot of stupid stuff. You just do. It's a wave. It comes in waves, okay? And I can't upset myself over how people think about so many things, because if I do, I'd just be in a constant state of agitation.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of helps me in these holiday gatherings. And here's the other thing. Okay. Brace yourself. Meaning, you know that Aunt Grace is snarky. You know it. That's her style. So, why is it going to shock you when she makes four more snarky remarks on Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
You're ready. You're prepared. Snarky remark number 964 of the past 20 Thanksgivings. At some point, you say to yourself, yeah, okay, they're losing some potency here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of us, too, we worry, and if people are coming at something from an anti, you know, Catholic or a very, let's say, a nasty way, we want to convert them, we want them to see the light, but it's not going to happen over Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. It just doesn't work that way. I think that's what we have. I've come to that conclusion. I came to that conclusion a long time ago. And, you know, you just love them, and you enjoy the best of it, and then you move on. More with Dr. Ray Guarendi on holidays and family and all that stuff when we come back on a Monday morning. It's November 24th. Stay tuned. Always great to catch up with my friend, Dr. Ray Guarendi. He's always teasing me on the air, but you only tease the ones you love. And trust me, we're friends, so don't worry if he, you know, but plus he's getting really old, so just, you know, don't worry about it, right? Offer it up. Anyway, okay. He's suggesting that to us, which I think many times is a good idea. Now, here's the deal, my friend. It's very frustrating when people attack the faith. Not that we expect someone to who doesn't appreciate the Lord and the church to be all, you know, warm and fuzzy, but there are some people who just want to really get under your skin and can be very insulting toward the Lord and the church. How do you handle those kinds of situations when you're in the middle of, you know, cutting into your turkey?
Several options, T.
Okay.
Make sure that you don't have this obligation to defend the faith, that somehow you will be sinning if you don't immediately stick up for the faith or what it teaches. That's one. Two, also make sure that you're not taking this personal. A lot of times when people attack the faith, we think they're attacking us. Because why? Well, because we follow the faith. So you're attacking something that is at the deepest core of my being, so therefore you're attacking me. You got to make sure that you're not involving yourself, because once you do that, you're much more likely to challenge. You're much more likely to jump in with both feet. You got to be careful there. Third thing, make an observation, if you must, about the process, not about what they said. I'll give you an example. I was playing ball one time with a bunch of evangelicals, and this one lady who was pretty clearly anti-Catholic, she said something like, "Oh, yeah, you got to make one of those triangles on your chest, don't you?" And I said, "Do you always mock something you don't understand?" I didn't say, "It's not a triangle. It's the sign of the cross, and it's one of the earliest significations that we belong to." No, I didn't say that. I said, "Do you always mock something you don't understand?" If you can think fast enough, you can make a remark like that, and you got to be careful because it can provoke, but at the same time, it does quietly make a statement. You want to venture into that deep water.
But see, I think that's the key, though. Do you want to venture into that deep water?
Well, it all depends, because I know a lot of people say they believe that if you do not defend the faith, if you quote-unquote allow someone to persist in their sin, then you are equally at sin. Now, if we take that literally, you ain't going to have any friends left. Because you're going to be pointing out what you think is wrong every time somebody says or does something that could be wrong. You got to be real careful on that one. I think most priests will tell you, most theologians will tell you, you know, you're not automatically sinning if you just don't jump in to defend or correct. You know, if they say things like, "Well, my daughter just had a baby, and it's her third baby. Now, this is not with the guy she was with originally. This is the guy she's living with. And we are so excited. We're celebrating this. It's wonderful. They're going to be there at Christmas. We haven't seen him for 4 months." What are you going to say to something like that? Mm-hmm. Are you going to say, "I thought your daughter was raised Catholic. This doesn't even bother her"? Don't do that. Don't do that, because there's no way, like you say, T, in that short period of time, that you're going to make a point. You say something more benign like, "Well, it sounds like everybody's pretty happy about all that."
Mm-hmm. I also think, too, what you're asking us to do, which I think is really important, is to, and don't let this go to your head, okay? Because you're not, all right? I'm just being nice because this is a very good point you're making, I have to admit it. You're having people pull back or zoom out, as we say in the TV business, to look at the big picture, because it could be a bigger sin in the sense of, if you are determined to really get into it with someone and explain the faith to them, make sure they're not mocking our religion, where it ends up being a horrible argument, which has happened, I'm sure, to many people, and then the whole day is ruined. And so, excuse me, you're ruining it for your elderly mother or grandmother or the rest of the people there because you had to make this particular point. Even though I guess your intentions are good because you want to defend the faith, but you have to take a breath and say, okay, where is this going to end up? Don't you have to kind of like fast forward in your head?
And I got to make sure I'm not just defending the faith, but I'm defending me.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, when they're attacking the faith, they're attacking you because you're completely identified with the faith. And they think that you're judgmental. They think you're narrow-minded. They think that you are morally stunted. They think that you think you're superior. So they think those things. So the pressure to respond is intense. Whenever you get your ego involved, the pressure goes up. So if you can just back off, like you say, back off and say, "Mom's 83 years old, and she doesn't want to see these people getting into it at her place. Here's the resolve, Steve. Make this resolve. I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into some kind of protracted discussion with somebody that can quickly turn sour. I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen.
Right.
I'll go to the bathroom. I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
At my age, they think I go to the bathroom every 12 minutes anyway.
I think also, too, at the end of the day, if they're really interested, say, "Hey, you know, I'd be happy to talk about this, but not now. Let's do it another time. But hey, let's chat. I'll email you or call you. Let's set something up." Now, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to do that. On occasion, right. If they're really interested, maybe they will. But what they want to do, I think, and this has been my experience, they want the most maximum way they can embarrass you, put you on the spot, get back at you, act like they're superior. And they want you to respond in a negative way because they want you to look like the bad guy.
I have many relatives who all were raised Catholic, all were Italian, many of them. And I would say probably the bulk of them are no longer either in the faith or have massaged it to fit their own end. Okay, so anytime we have a family gathering, there is that possibility. I got relatives living with people, and I've got relatives that have not been in a church in 22 years. I got relatives who think completely like the culture does. But yet at the same time, when I'm together with them, you wouldn't know for 5 seconds that I don't think the world of them.
Hmm.
You got to ask about them. Hey, so tell me, did you get that new job or not? What's going on there? Are you going to relocate? Tell me all about that.
I think love them, be kind to them, and don't go in with an agenda. And you know what? If there's time to talk at another time, do it, but not during the holidays. I totally agree. Ray, great to catch up with you. Love you much and look forward to seeing you on the Good News Cruise coming up in February. Our very own Dr. Ray Grundy with great advice for the holidays. More great advice from our dear sister, someone who knows Scripture inside and out, Gail Buckley. Gail, I love the verse for today. Good morning.
Oh, good. Thank you. Good morning to you, Teresa. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too, dear.
Not really soon.
I know.
Yes. I was listening to your great talk with Dr. Ray. He's a trip. He really is.
or as my friends would say about my own mother, not just a trip, but a round trip. Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, today our verse is from another verse from Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Proverbs 19:21, and it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails."
Ooh.
You know, I think, you know, we all make plans. We plan our days, our weeks, our careers. We plan our vacations, our budgets, our ministries, so many things. And that's certainly nothing wrong with that. God gave us minds to think and our hearts to dream. But this verse today, it reminds us of something I think is profoundly freeing, that many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Teresa, that this verse, I think it can be, you know, both a comfort and a correction, because I believe it's a comfort because it tells us that God's purpose cannot be thwarted. In our lives, they're not a random collection of events or series or accidents. When something doesn't go according to our plans, it still goes according to His. And I think it's a correction because it reminds us that our plans aren't always in line with what God intends. You know, sometimes we get so attached to our own scripts that we forget the author who writes the story. And if we think about our lives, you know, how many things turned out differently than we expected. I know you and I both have had the experiences of doors closing and other things opening up. I think all of us have at one time or another. But, you know, the job we didn't get or the relationship that didn't work out or, you know, at the time, it probably felt, you know, really disappointing. But usually later in hindsight, you know, we probably realize that God was protecting us or maybe leading us to something better. And, you know, we plan according to what we know. You know. God plans according to what He knows, and He knows everything. He knows completely. And we plan with limited vision, but God plans with eternal vision. And we usually plan for comfort, but God plans for growth and for holiness and for fruitfulness. You know, another thing, I think sometimes our plans are too small. That kind of, that might sound crazy, but, you know, we think we're dreaming big, but many times God has an even bigger plan for us. You know, we plan for a drop, and when He wants to give us a river, you know, we pray, you know, for survival, and He wants to give us purpose. And I think this verse today invites us to hold our plans, like, with open hands. You know, we might say, "Oh, Lord, here are my hopes and my ideas, my desires, but ultimately, Your will, not mine, be done." Just like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he asked God to take this cup from Him. You remember Him, then he ends up saying, "Not my will, but Your will be done."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we need to remember to do that. And I think, Teresa, I think the most peaceful people I've ever known are the ones that, you know, when their plans don't work out, they're still at peace. They're the ones that learn to trust God when things fall apart. And mm-hmm. I love it that as a Catholic, we can offer up our suffering. They can be redemptive. That's something I didn't know as a Protestant. I've mentioned that before, but I love that. You know, when things go wrong, we can offer it up, or when we're suffering or heartbroken or whatever. But we just need to remember that when our plans crumble, God's purpose is still standing. Yeah. And I think that's the bottom line for us today, to remember that.
That is so beautiful. And you know what I think, too, sometimes what happens is that we wonder, well, gosh, you know, what I'm asking for, my desire of my heart isn't bad. Maybe it's getting married or having children or doing this particular thing for the Lord. Maybe it's a ministry, but God yeah. says no, or he wants to put you in a different, you know, in a different place and pull you in a different direction. And we have to understand, again, that that may not be God's plan for our life, even though we have very, very good and holy intentions, right?
Absolutely. And you know, Teresa, I never had in mind that I would be leading a Bible study program or start one. And it was the last thing I would ever believed I would have done. But God, that was his plan for me. And I was mm-hmm. I just think, I can't do this. Right. But God wanted me to do it, and he made it happen. I mean, it was, he led me all the way. And I know you've had the same kinds of experiences. Yeah.
And I'm looking at your email from this morning, and I'm looking at your title, Founder and President, Catholic Scripture Study International, that beautiful image of all the different videos and the books that go along with your series. And yes. you had no idea that that was your goal or God's goal for your life.
A million years would I have yeah. thought that I would end up doing that. That's not. But God, it was God's plan for me, and I was willing to go with it. Even I'd kind of kicking and screaming all along because I didn't think I was worthy or I could do it, you know. But you know, I gave in and said, okay, your will be done, Lord. And it brought great fruit. And I'm so pleased and happy that he used me in that way.
Well, he's still using you, and it's in the fruit continues. Again, friends, jot this verse down. It's so powerful. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails.
Amen.
It's all God's plan, and you're not going to be truly happy until you say yes to that, until you surrender and understand that he is God and we are not. Gail, have a happy Thanksgiving, honey, and we wish you a beautiful week as well.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. God bless. And we'll be right back to let you know what's coming up in the second hour of Catholic Connection, which would be on EWTN Extra. What a great verse. Proverbs 19:21, our scripture verse of the week. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. We'll be right back. Wrapping up the first hour of Catholic Connection, I just love this verse. Again, we give you these verses every week, so it just gives you something to ponder as you go through the week and kind of help you, you know, set your focus again or refocus. So Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. I mean, I live this verse as Gail did, and it's so true. It doesn't mean that what you're desiring is bad. You may have, again, really great ideas, and this could be all for the Lord, or even if it's not what you want to do, let's say, in your own career, in your own life, it doesn't mean it's bad. But God has a bigger plan. And I love what she said, that God, that we want to drop, but God has a river for us. So don't put God in a box, because when we say, no, my plans, this is if you would just put your approval, your stamp of approval, Lord, on my plans, and we can be besties and everything will be great. No, because you don't know what God's going to do. He is so big, as we heard in that reading yesterday in Colossians. Okay? And he has the best ideas and the best plans for you. So do not doubt. Look at the crucifix and remember what he did for each and every one of us. And if you were the only person on the planet, he would have done that for you. And if you think somebody would do that and not provide the best for you overall, the best plans, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We're going to revisit a great interview I did with Father Spitzer regarding information on the faith. That's coming up next. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection. We will rejoin you on EWTN Radio Extra on this Monday, November 24th. Thanks so much.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's November 24th. It's a Monday. Great to be with you on a Monday and every day here at EWTN. I sure hope you enjoyed all the great coverage network provided for you, especially not only of the Pope in Assisi on Thursday, but also with the Pope with the young people, a connection that was made available by all the great work of our EWTN team, and it was great to see them get a shout-out. So because we were preempted by that wonderful, wonderful exchange between the students, the young people in Indianapolis at the conference, and the Holy Father, I was able to watch the whole thing, and I watched the entire Q&A, and it was just fascinating, and they gave a big shout-out to EWTN, and I was very proud. And now, this is the thing you need to remember. When you are supporting EWTN, that's the kind of programming you're supporting, because we can't do it without you. You are our family, as Michael Warsaw always says, you are our supporters, and this is why we do what we do. I mean, I can't even imagine Mother Angelica how excited she must be watching it from heaven, I'm sure. It was just so neat to see the Pope, of course, American Pope, talk to these young people and them respond. He responded. There was an exchange. There was laughter. There was clapping. It was just a very, very moving event. And it's on YouTube. You can still see it. It's also on the Vatican website. We'll have a clip from it as well this morning in the news. So just wanted to say that because it just is really, really important. And we appreciate your support. We need your support. And this is what your support does, brothers and sisters. It also brings you great programs like The Journey Home. And this morning, we're going to have Matt Swain on with us, as we do always, from The Journey Home for Journey Home Highlights. He is with The Journey Home as a producer, also with the Coming Home Network, and of course, a host of The Daily Morning Show, heard every day here on EWTN Radio, The Sunrise Morning Show. We've got highlights from the program this evening. The Journey Home, of course, Matt Swain will be joining us at about 15, 16 minutes past the hour after the news. And then Dr. Ray Guarendi, also one of our talk show hosts here at EWTN, will be talking to us about a very familiar topic with which we all deal. It's very cyclical, comes around every year. Being that this is the week of Thanksgiving, you may have family coming over to stay, or maybe you're going to family to visit. Maybe it's just for dinner in your area. Maybe you're spending more time with them. How do we deal with family over the holidays? We are not all the Waltons. We're not all the Brady Bunch. A lot of us have issues with our relatives and may strongly disagree on very important topics, especially faith. But when is the time to discuss? We will discuss with the one, the only, Dr. Ray Guarendi. And then, of course, it is a Monday, so get your pen and pencil ready. Sorry, I'm old school. You can also text it to yourself. But Gail Buckley Barringer from, of course, Catholic Scripture Study International will be joining us, and she'll wrap up the first hour of a Monday morning with our scripture verse of the week. And this is a powerful one. I'm just saying, it will make you think about who is God, and it's not us. Newsflash. All right, let's take a look at the forecast and see how we are starting out this week. And can you believe Advent is coming up? I can't even. Anyway, I forgot to mention, I got to lecture yesterday. I haven't done it in a while. That reading from Colossians we had yesterday, I hardly got through it. It's just so beautiful the way it describes Jesus. I just love that reading. Anyway, Christ the King yesterday, moving into Advent this Sunday. Wow. Okay. Here's the weather and what's going on this week as we get closer to the Thanksgiving Day holiday. The National Weather Service is saying there's a storm system shifting from eastern Texas into the lower Mississippi Valley today, with additional threats of severe storms and heavy to excessive rain. And they say that rain could bring flooding. And in the northern U.S., a storm is bringing heavy snow along with gusty winds over parts of the Rockies, the northern plains, and the upper Midwest. Now, that's starting today. And that's going all the way into Wednesday. And you know what that means? It means it could be a problem for the traveling. But we'll keep you up to date on all of it. Right now, it's 4 minutes on the hour. We are past the hour, I should say. We appreciate you listening to EWTN, Global Catholic Radio. Let's get started and see what's happening on this Monday, November 24th. Very frightening story out of Nigeria. More than 300 students abducted by gunmen at a private Catholic school over the weekend in Nigeria. The students, ranging in age from 10 to 18 years old, 50 of the children are believed to have escaped. This comes as President Trump has warned of possible U.S. military action in Nigeria over the killing of Christians, the president promising to target Islamic terrorists responsible for the recent killings and saying the action would be fast and vicious. Pope Leo has expressed his immense sadness, meanwhile, over the recent kidnappings of priests, students, and members of the Christian faithful in Nigeria and Cameroon as well, and he's urging authorities to ensure their liberation. Speaking after Mass yesterday in St. Peter's Square, the Holy Father saying he had learned with immense sadness the news of the kidnapping of priests, faithful, and students in Nigeria and Cameroon. He said, "I feel a deep sorrow, especially for the many boys and girls who have been abducted and for their anguished families. I make a heartfelt appeal that the hostages be immediately released, and I urge the competent authorities to take appropriate and timely decisions to ensure their liberation." Finally, as Vatican News explains, the Pope invited everyone to pray that churches and schools might never be the target of violence. "Let us pray for these brothers and sisters of ours," he said, "that churches and schools may always and everywhere remain places of safety and hope." Meanwhile, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, nearly 16,000 young people meeting with Pope Leo by way of a video link on Friday as they attended the National Catholic Youth Conference in Indianapolis. The event saw six young Catholics asking the Pope to share his thoughts on topics ranging from the sacraments and mental health to artificial intelligence and the future of the Church. And in his opening remarks, the Pope praising the American youth for taking the time to meet together in person, saying they were doing so in a beautiful time of hope for the Church.
"We're meeting during a special moment in the life of the Church, the Jubilee year. It is beautiful that this Jubilee is centered on hope, because we are seeing signs of hope everywhere. Millions of people have come to Rome to walk through the holy doors, to pray at the tombs of the apostles, to deepen their faith. In dioceses around the world, many churches have been named Jubilee churches. This highlights the important role they play in their communities and gives people who visit them an opportunity to receive special graces. At the recent Jubilee of Youth in Rome, more than a million young people came together to celebrate, to meet each other, to meet young Catholics from across the world who share the same faith. What a blessing it is to see so many young Catholics seeking the Lord with sincerity and joy."
The conference giving them a chance to attend Mass, pray before the Blessed Sacrament, and receive the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And the Pope said these activities are real opportunities, he reminded them, to meet Jesus. Israel says its warplanes taking out a senior Hezbollah leader in a weekend airstrike in Lebanon. A spokesperson for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office confirming the deadly airstrike yesterday.
The IDF attacked the Hezbollah chief of staff in the heart of Beirut, who led the strengthening and arming of the terrorist organization.
According to the Lebanese health ministry, five people were killed and more than two dozen hurt in the attack. Israel warning it will step up military action in Lebanon and Gaza unless there is more progress on disarmament under the U.S.-led ceasefire agreement. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says substantial progress has been made during talks aimed at ending the war between Russia and Ukraine. He took part in yesterday's discussions in Geneva, Switzerland, with officials from the Ukraine and a variety of European countries.
"I can tell you, I guess, that I feel very optimistic that we can get something done here because we made a tremendous amount of progress today."
He added he believes the president is quite pleased about the progress being made. European leaders have been voicing concerns about the president's 28-point peace proposal, however. Trump has given Ukraine until this Thursday to agree to the plan, which calls for Kyiv to give up territory to Russia and limit the size of their military. And the Treasury Secretary says he's confident the U.S. won't enter a recession next year. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent making the reassurance during an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press.
"I am very, very optimistic on 2026. We have set the table for a very strong, non-inflationary growth economy."
He did, however, acknowledge that certain sectors, such as housing, have felt pressure. Consumers have felt a little better about the economy since the government shutdown ended. The University of Michigan's real final reading for November rose slightly from its mid-month low. However, survey officials say consumers remain somewhat frustrated about higher prices and weakening incomes. Sharon Reardon tells us claims made by the L.A. Fire Department regarding January's Lockman fire are now being challenged.
Records obtained by the LA Times show no mention of additional coal trailing on January 3rd, despite then interim fire chief Ronnie Villanueva saying crews returned and reinspected the burn area following a smoke report. Coal trailed means they used their hands to feel directly for heat and dug out hot spots. The Times reports that the dispatch log indicates firefighters arrived, saw no smoke, and cleared the scene. This was just days before the fire reignited into the deadly Palisades fire. Current LA Fire Chief Jamie Moore is calling for an outside organization to investigate. I'm Sharon Reardon.
And of course, almost the season to look out for those holiday scammers as we move into Thanksgiving, with scammers becoming ever more sophisticated in their efforts to separate people from their money. It can be difficult to know whom and what to trust. A top one is fake lookalike digital storefronts, often using URLs that look very similar to the real thing. Then there's the flood of emails promising deals from legitimate brands, but really just trying to get your credit card info. And with AI making it harder to separate fiction from reality, be on the lookout for bogus celebrity endorsements that generate traffic to those fake websites. Lisa Carton tells us there's been an analysis done by Realtor.com showing 10 cities across the South and Northeast have experienced an increase in home values.
The report follows an analysis by Zillow indicating over half of homes in the U.S. lost value in the past year. That marks the highest number of properties to depreciate in over a decade. The 10 cities with increasing home values include Knoxville, Tennessee, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Charleston, South Carolina, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Syracuse, New York, Portland, Maine, Rochester, New York, New Haven, Connecticut, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm Lisa Carton.
Millions of Amazon Prime customers getting refunds as a result of the company's $2.5 billion settlement with the Federal Trade Commission. You should get an email from Amazon asking you to claim the money through PayPal or Venmo if you're entitled to an automatic refund, or you can choose to get a check in the mail. This applies to folks who enrolled in Prime between June of 2019 and June of this year. Lisa Carton, well, we'll skip that story from her since we already heard from her once. Most major retailers will be closed for Thanksgiving this year. The stores closed for the holiday include most, but not all, Ace Hardware stores. Aldi will close its stores on Thanksgiving along with Best Buy, but the tech retailers' Black Friday hours can still be found online. Costco's warehouse stores will be closed for the holiday, and its Black Friday hours are available online. Dick's Sporting Goods also closing its stores, but opening at 6 a.m. for Black Friday shoppers. Other stores opening bright and early on Friday include JCPenney and Kohl's, both opening at 5 a.m. And this Thanksgiving holiday season could be the busiest ever. AAA estimates that nearly 82 million people will be traveling over the holidays, which is up 2% from last year. The FAA says it is expecting the busiest Thanksgiving travel season in 15 years as airlines get up and running again after the shutdown. New York Times reporting more travelers will be traveling by train and bus this year to avoid flight delays and cancellations. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, and we'll keep you up to date as we move through the week, there's some severe weather moving in that can also create poor traveling conditions in some parts of the country. It is a Monday morning. We are so glad you're listening to EWTN. And speaking of EWTN, on Mondays we speak with our very own Matt Swain from the Sunrise Morning Show and The Journey Home. He joins us on Mondays for highlights from The Journey Home. And he told me this morning that we have a doozy of a guest in a good way tonight. So he'll fill us in. Stay tuned. And then Dr. Ray Guarendi, how to handle those holiday visits. He'll give us all kinds of great insight. Thanks for listening. You are listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio on a Monday, November 24th. And we're glad you're with us. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It's a Monday. It's November 24th. Not just any Monday, but yesterday we just celebrated, of course, the Feast of Christ the King, as I mentioned in the first hour. And we are moving toward Thanksgiving, of course, on Thursday. And then, of course, we're moving toward Advent because we're going to be out of the ordinary time and into the beautiful season, liturgical season of Advent. So just a reminder, as I mentioned on Matt Swain's show this morning, the Sunrise Morning Show, get your Advent resources in order so you don't get all busy. We're all so busy this week trying to plan our dinners and whatnot. that you'll be ready when Sunday rolls around, right? You can grab your Magnificat companion, your Advent companion. You can go online, which is a new favorite thing of mine to do with our EWTN Mission Advancement videos, as I mentioned earlier this morning, EWTN.com/Advent with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. It's in a beautiful series for us. And if you sign up, it's free. And not only do you get the link to the videos, but you get all kinds of Q&A and a great explanation of what we do, why we do what we do in the one holy and Catholic and apostolic faith. So just thought I would throw that out there because we are in this very important liturgical time of the year. Speaking of which, on the calendar, we're also marking, as I mentioned, Thanksgiving. And so in the first hour, we were discussing how to handle relatives and the conversations. Well, a tool that might be helpful, not that you want to get into anything super heavy, as Ray reminded us, but a tool to have handy is this beautiful app, the AI app from our friends at the Magis Center and the one, the only, Father Spitzer. Now, maybe you heard the interview that we did with him about a month ago, but I thought it would be really great as we're talking about preparing for this holiday and if people have questions about the faith and you're around people that you haven't seen in a long time, this is a great resource for you. And you know, even if you don't want to enter into a conversation around Thanksgiving dinner, that's fine because it can be very, very stressful and you want to enjoy the time together with family. This is a resource you can send to someone, tell them about it, send them a link, send them the information with the Magis Center, and then say, hey, you had some questions, put the questions into this app and you'll get all the information you need and then some. So that's why I thought it would be great that we revisit Father Spitzer today regarding this beautiful new app, this beautiful new resource we have from Father Spitzer and their friends at Magis, and they vetted everything that they put on this app. So any question you have about Catholicism, it is going to be definitely solidly Orthodox and up to date in terms of information on what the Church teaches. So that is this hour of the program. Before we get into the news on a Monday, on this November 24th, let's take a look at the weather. The National Weather Service says those severe thunderstorms I mentioned in the first hour of the program, heavy rain in the southern part of the country and snow in the northern Rockies and northern plains, well, it hasn't changed much in the last 60 minutes. We have that storm system, which will shift from eastern Texas into the lower Mississippi Valley today, with additional threats of severe thunderstorms and heavy to excessive rainfall, which may bring flooding. In the northern U.S., a storm will bring heavy snow and gusty winds over parts of the northern Rockies, northern plains, and the upper Midwest today into tomorrow. We appreciate you listening to the second hour of Catholic Connection here on EWTN Radio on a Monday, November 24th. Let's get started, as we always do, with the news for you. Very frightening story out of Nigeria. More than 300 students abducted by gunmen at a private Catholic school over the weekend in Nigeria. The students, ranging in age from 10 to 18 years old, 50 of the children are believed to have escaped. This comes as President Trump has warned of possible U.S. military action in Nigeria over the killing of Christians. The president promising to target Islamic terrorists responsible for the recent killings and saying the action would be fast and vicious. Pope Leo has expressed his immense sadness, meanwhile, over the recent kidnappings of priest students and members of the Christian faithful in Nigeria and Cameroon as well, and he's urging authorities to ensure their liberation. Speaking after Mass yesterday in St. Peter's Square, the Holy Father saying he had learned with immense sadness the news of the kidnapping of priests, faithful, and students in Nigeria and Cameroon. He said, I feel a deep sorrow, especially for the many boys and girls who have been abducted and for their anguished families. I make a heartfelt appeal that the hostages be immediately released, and I urge the competent authorities to take appropriate and timely decisions to ensure their liberation. Finally, as Vatican News explains, the Pope invited everyone to pray that churches and schools might never be the target of violence. Let us pray for these brothers and sisters of ours, he said, that churches and schools may always and everywhere remain places of safety and hope. Meanwhile, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, nearly 16,000 young people meeting with Pope Leo by way of a video link on Friday as they attended the National Catholic Youth Conference in Indianapolis. The event saw six young Catholics asking the Pope to share his thoughts on topics ranging from the sacraments and mental health to artificial intelligence and the future of the Church. And in his opening remarks, the Pope praising the American youth for taking the time to meet together in person, saying they were doing so in a beautiful time of hope for the Church.
We're meeting during a special moment in the life of the Church. the Jubilee year. It is beautiful that this Jubilee is centered on hope, because we are seeing signs of hope everywhere. Millions of people have come to Rome to walk through the holy doors, to pray at the tombs of the apostles, to deepen their faith. In dioceses around the world, many churches have been named Jubilee churches. This highlights the important role they play in their communities and gives people who visit them an opportunity to receive special graces. At the recent Jubilee of Youth in Rome, more than a million young people came together to celebrate, to meet each other, to meet young Catholics from across the world who share the same faith. What a blessing it is to see so many young Catholics seeking the Lord with sincerity and joy.
The conference giving them a chance to attend Mass, pray before the Blessed Sacrament, and receive the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and the Pope said these activities are real opportunities, he reminded them, to meet Jesus. Israel says its warplanes taking out a senior Hezbollah leader in a weekend airstrike in Lebanon, a spokesperson for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office confirming the deadly airstrike yesterday.
The IDF attacked the Hezbollah chief of staff in the heart of Beirut, who led the strengthening and arming of the terrorist organization.
According to the Lebanese health ministry, five people were killed and more than two dozen hurt in the attack. Israel warning it will step up military action in Lebanon and Gaza unless there is more progress on disarmament under the U.S.-led ceasefire agreement. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says substantial progress has been made during talks aimed at ending the war between Russia and Ukraine. He took part in yesterday's discussions in Geneva, Switzerland, with officials from the Ukraine and a variety of European countries.
I can tell you, that I feel very optimistic that we can get something done here because we made a tremendous amount of progress today.
He added he believes the president is quite pleased about the progress being made. European leaders have been voicing concerns about the president's 28-point peace proposal, however. Trump has given Ukraine until this Thursday to agree to the plan, which calls for Kyiv to give up territory to Russia and limit the size of their military. And the Treasury Secretary says he's confident the U.S. won't enter a recession next year. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent making the reassurance during an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press.
I am very, very optimistic on 2026. We have set the table for a very strong, non-inflationary growth economy.
He did, however, acknowledge that certain sectors, such as housing, have felt pressure. Consumers have felt a little better about the economy since the government shutdown ended. The University of Michigan's real final reading for November rose slightly from its mid-month low. However, survey officials say consumers remain somewhat frustrated about higher prices and weakening incomes. Sharon Reardon tells us claims made by the L.A. Fire Department regarding January's Lockman fire are now being challenged.
Records obtained by the L.A. Times show no mention of additional coal trailing on January 3rd, despite then interim fire chief Ronnie Villanueva saying crews returned and reinspected the burn area following a smoke report. Coal trailed means they use their hands to feel directly for heat and dug out hot spots. The Times reports that the dispatch log indicates firefighters arrived, saw no smoke, and cleared the scene. This was just days before the fire reignited into the deadly Palisades fire. Current LA Fire Chief Jamie Moore is calling for an outside organization to investigate. I'm Sharon Reardon.
And of course, almost the season to look out for those holiday scammers as we move into Thanksgiving. With scammers be ever more sophisticated in their efforts to separate people from their money, it can be difficult to know whom and what to trust. A top one is fake look-alike digital storefronts, often using URLs that look very similar to the real thing. Then there's the flood of emails promising deals from legitimate brands, but really just trying to get your credit card info. And with AI making it harder to separate fiction from reality, be on the lookout for bogus celebrity endorsements that generate traffic to those fake websites. Lisa Carton tells us there's been an analysis done by Realtor.com showing 10 cities across the South and Northeast have experienced an increase in home values.
The report follows an analysis by Zillow indicating over half of homes in the U.S. lost value in the past year. That marks the highest number of properties to depreciate in over a decade. The 10 cities with increasing home values include Knoxville, Tennessee, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Charleston, South Carolina, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Syracuse, New York, Portland, Maine, Rochester, New York, New Haven, Connecticut, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm Lisa Carton.
Millions of Amazon Prime customers getting refunds as a result of the company's $2.5 billion settlement with the Federal Trade Commission. You should get an email from Amazon asking you to claim the money through PayPal or Venmo if you're entitled to an automatic refund, or you can choose to get a check in the mail. This applies to folks who enrolled in Prime between June of 2019 and June of this year. Most major retailers will be closed for Thanksgiving this year. The stores closed for the holiday include most, but not all, Ace Hardware stores. Aldi will close its stores on Thanksgiving along with Best Buy, but the tech retailers' Black Friday hours can still be found online. Costco's warehouse stores will be closed for the holiday, and its Black Friday hours are available online. Dick's Sporting Goods also closing its stores, but opening at 6 a.m. for Black Friday shoppers. Other stores opening bright and early on Friday include JCPenney and Kohl's, both opening at 5 a.m. And this Thanksgiving holiday season could be the busiest ever. AAA estimates that nearly 82 million people will be traveling over the holidays, which is up 2% from last year. The FAA says it is expecting the busiest Thanksgiving travel season in 15 years as airlines get up and running again after the shutdown. New York Times reporting more travelers will be traveling by train and bus this year to avoid flight delays and cancellations. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, we'll keep you up to date as we move through the week. There's some severe weather moving in that could also create poor traveling conditions in some parts of the country.
This is Father Joseph Mary. Let us pray for women considering abortion. St. John wrote, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." Heavenly Father, we celebrate that from the first moment of conception, you have loved us. We pray that all may come to know your love for them and that they are children of God. Help us all to more deeply understand the great dignity that you have given us, and to see more clearly the love you have for every person, even from the first moment of their conception. We grieve over the violence that covers the world, beginning with the violence of abortion. Help us, Heavenly Father, to see the love that you have for us, that we are all children of God. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Prayer is the only truly creative power in the world. God is the only one who can create something out of nothing. And when we pray, we welcome God into our hearts. And once he's there, he's going to do something. He's going to change things. He's going to transform us. He's going to make something out of the nothing that is me. That's the power of prayer for me. It's the only power that's guaranteed to change my life. And the only way I know to make that happen is through prayer.
Just an amazing priest, teacher, philosopher, educator. Our friend, Jesuit priest Father Robert Spitzer. You know him well from Father Spitzer's Universe and, of course, many other appearances on EWTN. And he is just an incredible wealth of knowledge and information and the president of the Magis Center of Reason and Faith and the Spitzer Center for Catholic Organizations. Now, his bio is extensive, but if I took the time to read all of his accomplishments and degrees, that would take up the first segment, at least, of our program. So suffice it to say, we've got some exciting news. And in light of all the discussion about education we've seen, of course, with Cardinal John Henry Newman, St. John Henry Newman becoming a doctor of the church, and also the discussion on continuing education with the Pope and the meetings in Rome and the new document, the Apostolic Letter, it's so appropriate that we talk about another great resource to learn about our faith. That's a gift from the Magis Center. And Father Spitzer is with us for this hour this morning here on Catholic Connection to tell us all about it. Father, great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. And thank you, Teresa, for having me on as your wonderful host. You certainly study everything. So thank you.
I try. You know, that's the way I learned my faith. When I came back, when my husband and I came back to the faith, we studied the catechism and we were so excited about being Catholic again. We started to read the documents and we were like, where have we been all these years? Like that old commercial, I could have had a V8. But the education needs to continue, which is why you've come up with this new resource, which is an app, correct?
Correct. So the idea, it's called the Magis AI app. It's free of charge. and you just put in M-A-G-I-S, like Magis, AI, no space between Magis and AI, just Magis AI. Just put it into either Google Store, a Google Play Store for your Android people, and Apple Store for Apple people, iPhone people, and it's free of charge. You can just download it right there, and it should answer literally tens of thousands of questions concerning the confluence of science, reason, faith, philosophy, history, social science, spiritual life, morality, the church's moral teaching in particular, etc. So, I mean, it'll go into anything, truly. You know, so if somebody is saying, oh, a fourth-level multiverse disproves God, you can just say, hey, Magis, well, a fourth-level multiverse disproves God. And, of course, it'll come on and tell you, no, a fourth-level multiverse, you know, if it's truly a multiverse in the physical sense of the word, it's going to have a beginning for the following three reasons. And blah, 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 goes through the whole thing, and it'll answer your question and say, nope, you're still going to need a beginning, and if you need a beginning, you're still going to need a creator. I mean, you can do the same thing. You can say, well, really, you know, somebody says, the church hates transgenders. And you can just get on and just say, you know, hey, Magis, does the church, the Catholic Church, really hate transgenders? It'll go, no, of course they don't hate transgenders. Here's why, the church disagrees with transgenderism. You know, you have a 2,000% increase in suicides 10 years after, sexual reassignment surgery. You have a 3 times increase in mortality rate. You have a lifetime of emotional disruption and, you know, highs and lows on a grand scale, immediately upon getting hormones of the opposite sex, opposite of your biological sex, and goes through the whole thing and just says, church, of course, is worried about the transgender desire, because if you start following through on it, the odds of your being disappointed are very high. And if you're really disappointed, you're going to belong to the 20 times increase in suicide rates after your sexual reassignment surgery. It's not beforehand. The CAS report came out very clearly saying the evidence that people want to commit suicide, right, is very, very thin indeed. All these things, you can get it on the Magis AI app. And if you want more, those statistics are interesting. More on the statistics, and it will give you more statistics. If the answer is too complicated, so if you're asking a science question and it is a little too complicated, just say simplify. And if, like, you're a fifth grader or, we tag it to a college student is the normal default setting. But basically, if you're a fifth grader, you can just say, hey, Magis, will the God particle disprove God? And I'm a fifth grader, and it will immediately move to the level of a fifth grade and the answer. So it's going to drop, of course, equations or drop any technical language and give a very plain, simple answer to the question. And you can say more on that, simplify as many times as you wish. And you can go back and forth, five times. You can have a back and forth a session. And so if you want a clarification, you want more, you don't get something, you can just ask and keep going. After 5 times, of course, you'd have to start a new session. But essentially, it should all be there. It's in 26 languages. So right now, it is. Apple Store is available in Italy right now. We're still trying to get this on Androided, Google Play Store for Italy, for Europe in general. But Europe is on for Apple Store, so you could download it if you want there in Italy as well. So we're 50 languages if you're doing it in writing only. But if you want the oral, where you're asking the question and getting a vocal answer, that would be 26 languages, of course, including all the major European languages and Hindi and Chinese, et cetera.
Talking with Father Robert Spitzer, of course, from our own Father Spitzer's Universe and also the Magis Center at MagisCenter.com about Magis AI. I'm just reading from the information on the website, which is very, really, really interesting what we have available to us now. It's a revolutionary app designed to provide instant science-based and reasoned answers to questions about God, Jesus, life after death, the Catholic Church, and Catholic moral teachings. And Father, what's really great is that it's using a database from your 20-plus books. So when you think about the faith, I mean, there's an endless well of knowledge and beauty. Is it most of the information from your books, which are incredible, or are there other sources that are used in the app?
Oh, no, there's definitely other sources in the app, but I have curated every last one of them. In other words, I've examined and approved anything that goes, beyond. I don't have to obviously approve the catechism or something, but I mean, but I have approved anything, you know, that's either science-based or social science-based. So everything, I mean, the guardrails are really tight. We do not allow the app to go wandering around the internet and pick anything up, you know.
Okay.
That it's searching for. We have, as I said, as tight a guardrail as you can get into the internet. We definitely make our database is the primary source. My books are a foundational source, but of course there are all kinds of other things. I don't, you know, I'm not a biologist. I do the physics side of things. On the science, for example, on the social science, I make recourse to all kinds of studies, you know, that are being done by universities or the Archives of General Psychiatry, et cetera. And so, you know, I put those in there so the app can make use of those statistics. But I do curate everything. So you should really get a very orthodox, good Catholic answer. I want to say 100% of the time, but I can never say 100% of the time about anything. So I'll say 99.99% of the time, you should definitely get an answer. We have tested this thing hundreds and hundreds of times on different questions all around. We've tried to trick it in every imaginable way, and we still get very, very good answers. It's very hard to trick this app. So, I'm sure somebody's going to try, and maybe they can try and find some question. But right now, we have been unable to do it in the latest version that we have. So we launched it, and we're very secure. The science should be from good peer-reviewed journals, the social science as well. So, the scripture is obviously, first-class, exegetical studies from Catholic sources. You know, the Jerome Biblical Commentary and from other, well-recognized Catholic theologians who are on the Papal Biblical Commission. So all these things are, I'm hoping, we try to make it about as foolproof as you can get it, as is certainly humanly possible. So I think your kids are, if your fifth graders want to use it, they can. Obviously, if you're under 18, you have to check that little box and get parental permission. To use it, but anybody over 18 can just use it
Amazing. We'll talk more about this with Father Robert Spitzer, of course, of the Majus Center and our own Father Spitzer's Universe, co-hosted by Doug Keck, all about Majus AI, a brand new revolutionary app answering all your questions about faith, morality, the church, and more. We'll be right back. Always great to catch up with the amazing Father Robert J. Spitzer. He's written some 20 books. He speaks all over the world. Of course, he runs the Majus Center, which is an incredible resource in itself. And he hosts with Doug Keck, Father Spitzer's Universe, answering all kinds of questions. Now there's an app for that. Majus AI, a revolutionary app, as we mentioned before the break, designed to provide, I'm reading right from the website, majuscenter.com, instant, science-based, and reasoned answers to questions about God, life after death, the Catholic Church, and Catholic moral teachings. So, Father, your center, Majus Center, and your resources are already great. I mean, you can go to the Majus Center website, and there's great resources, great articles. So why did you think an app was important right now?
Well, for three reasons, really. Most of our younger people, the idea of reading a whole article or looking at a video that's over about 1.5 minutes is, not likely. I'm not exaggerating.
True.
I think that's very true. And so basically, if you can just, pick up your device and just say, hey, Majus, and then ask your question, you don't have to worry. So if a kid gets in a debate in the dorm room, right, and, somebody makes some contention, well, Dawkins has disproved God, and you're not sure about the Dawkins proof or something, you can just say, hey, Majus, did Dawkins really disprove God? And he'll come on and go, No, Dawkins makes three fundamental errors in his proof, starting with the error of simplicity. Blah, 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 blah. Goes through the whole thing. If that's too complicated, just say simplify. And you got your answer right there. The kid has a shield. And that's the first thing we want. We don't want to let our kids get intimidated out of their faith by, random, contentions. And there's tons of them. They come from the internet. So, a kid could just be looking at this on the internet, right, and just say, oh, what the heck? I didn't know, fourth-level multivers or whatever, God particle disprove God or whatever they've got going, now. And we can just defeat it with great science right off the bat. Some kids, the second reason is some kids really believe that there's no evidence for God, life after death, a transphysical soul, Jesus, the Eucharist, from science, and good contemporary evidence. And man, we've got a flood of it. We literally have 3,000 pages, but it'll do it question by question. In other words, normally a kid gets a question on his mind or her mind, and that they want the answer to that question, and they don't want to swim through a lot of stuff. But if you can just say, hey, Ma, just what's the answer to this question? And you just say, is there any evidence for life after death? And you go, yes, there is indeed. 36 peer-reviewed medical studies of near-death experiences, terminal lucidity, and intelligence in hydrocephalic patients. The evidence is so persuasive that the New York Academy of Sciences has declared in 2022 that there is a very good likelihood that you're consciousness will survive your bodily death. Stand at attention, everybody. That's good evidence, and you can show that to any friend. So if you get somebody contending, that there's no evidence, or this is just a spaghetti monster God a la Dawkins or whatever, and if you get this kind of stuff thrown at you, or you just read about it in the internet, or you just need evidence to substantiate your faith to ground your spiritual and moral conversion, right? You need a little bit of intellectual conversion. Everything is there, and you can go as deep as you want. And if you're like I was, I liked the equations when I was a kid, and I would have asked for them. So you can just say more on those equations, and you can get them right on the app. And it's just like the case for God and life after death and Jesus and the Eucharist is, and of course, the miracles of Mary, et cetera, are so overwhelming. And to get all of it, all the sourcing for it, everything right there at your fingertips, free of charge, right? You just go to, Apple Store, just put Majus AI, no space, Majus AI, click on it, download it. You've got the answer to literally tens of thousands of these questions. Anything that we could dream up that you could come up with to kind of lose your faith morally, intellectually, scientifically, scripturally, things like, wait a minute, why did Moses say, you could kill all the people in the conquered Canaanite lands if they resist you, including women and children? That doesn't sound very biblical. And the app will just give them a really good answer to that question. Well, of course, this disagrees with the teaching of Jesus, and any Old Testament teaching that disagrees with Jesus has been superseded by him because he's the fullness of revelation. But let's take a look if we can understand how the Mosaic Proclamation is inspired. I mean, obviously, Moses' intention is to get these people not to, start practicing these Canaanite barbaric practices. So he's a warrior. He lives in a warrior society. So his means are not good. He says, well, kill the competition is basically what he says. But the inspired part is not kill the competition. That's what Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict would have said. No, that's just the exterior core, through which the message is communicated. In other words, that's the medium to the culture in which Moses is preaching. The inspired part, the core message of the teaching is, you keep pure. Just stick to Mosaic Yahwism. Don't be deviating to any of these other false religions, etc. So, again, we can explain the technique of, looking, between the inspired core versus the exterior, means through which the message is communicated. And then Ratzinger, of course, gives us the solution at the end. if you have a disagreement, Jesus wins. You know, that's all there is to it, that the message supersedes the previous one in that respect. But we're not changing Moses' proclamation, stay pure, to Mosaic Galvanism. What the church is saying is, yeah, you just can't use that means to do it. You have to use Jesus' means because he's the fullness of revelation. This will, you say, well, does the app go through all of that? Yes, it does. It'll actually go through it step by step. And so so a kid can actually learn it and learn, you know, Bellarmine's principle or learn Pius the 12th's principle, you know, about scriptural interpretation right off the bat. And then they can begin to say, oh, that's how we understand these things. And so, you know, a lot of kids, they don't even know that you have to divide morality in the Bible into four periods, right? You've got a patriarchal period. You've got the Mosaic period. You've got the later prophetic period after the exile. And then you've got Jesus, of course, the fullness of Revelation. And there's real developments in those four periods. So, of course, can we say, you know, that the patriarchal preaching, you know, well, you know, this guy raped my sister, so I guess I'm going to go kill the whole town. Of course, Moses said, you can't do that. So when we get to the Mosaic period, right, he changes the patriarchal thing, and he says, nope, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Maximum you can do is equal vengeance. The patriarch said, well, take as much vengeance as you think is appropriate. Well, you know, Moses says, no, that's not what Yahweh wants. He wants equal vengeance. And then Jesus comes along and says, well, you ought to forgive, you know, those people from the heart, right? In other words, you know, the objective is you always have the right of self-defense. But at the same time, right, we want to you know, forgive people from the heart and allow them to go. Yeah. Well, if you explain that principle to a child, you know, even a 6th, 7th, 8th grader, they begin to get it. And then they can see, oh, the Bible does make sense. It's not forcing me to believe something that just couldn't possibly be true.
Father, hang on. We're going to take a break and continue our discussion on this amazing new app from the Magi Center. We'll be right back. Here is an app for that indeed, the Magi Center app. Brand new, relatively new. Tons of information. We are chatting with our dear friend, Father Robert Spitzer, of course, wonderful Jesuit priest, theologian, author, educator, and a host at EWTN's Father Spitzer's Universe, along with Doug Keck. That's a great program, one of my favorite shows on EWTN television. Father, this is an amazing amount of information on this new app. How long did it take you to get the app to where it could be a working format? Because we know you had all the research done. You have those great books. You mentioned that earlier. But this must have taken at least some amount of time, correct?
Yeah, it took about a year and a half, actually, to assemble the thing, you know, because we had, you know, four problems that, you know, not problems, but challenges that we needed to really be sure about. Number one, we had to choose what's called an LLM, you know, a large language model. And there's a lot of them out there that have been, you know, they have a certain amount of training already prescribed in them. And so, like, DeepSeek would have one, ChatGPT has one, Claude has one, et cetera. So we wanted to go through various LLMs to see which one would have the least amount of what I would call secular-leaning propensity already trained into the model. And we found a terrific one eventually, almost a brand new one. We switched at the last minute. We were going to use a French LLM and then found Weaviate. And we went with Weaviate. It's really excellent. It aligns with what we want very easily. It's not forcing its own prescribed training on us. It lets us formulate our database first and put in our prescriptions through Flutterflow in there. And you can basically do what you want to do. You're not kind of forced into some pre-programmed training that it has. So we like that, and we've got that. We also, you know, we obviously needed to get the right way of putting guardrails into the LLM and the database, so that, you know, we didn't want the app just searching around the internet and you're getting stuff because I don't have to tell you. If you use general chat GPT, it goes looking around. You never know what it's going to come up with. And, you know, let's face it, 20% of the time, it's getting stuff that's not good. And so it doesn't have yet that critical scholarly judgment, you know, to figure out what to pick, or certainly not the judgment of a church person. So the main thing, though, is we've got that programming done, you know, so we could be very sure that our guardrails were secure. And, of course, then we wanted to make sure everything was affordable. So what we do is we clone our own version of Weaviate and integrate it onto Amazon Web Services, and then we've got control of it. It's not just general chat GPT or something. So we've got control over our own clone of that, and the Amazon Web Services then has a very reasonable charge compared to, you know, if you did the tokens on ChatGPT, we could never offer this for free. It'd be impossible. I mean, it'd be like 8 times more expensive. So we really do have, you know, the ability to. It costs us money, and we have donors that help us to pay for, you know, the, you know, amount of users that we have. So, you know, if you get 1 million users of it, you know, you can expect to get a, you know, maybe a $90,000 charge or something, you know, to accommodate all those users in multiple sessions every day. So if you know, to get that, you do need benefactors, but we do have some benefactors who've been very generous and helped us to do that. So, you know, once we got, you know, essentially that all done, then you have to put it on the app stores. So, you know, let's face it, Apple has a lot of its, you know, restrictions. You got to do everything just right. You know, Google Play Store has, you know, their restrictions, and you got to do everything right for them. And then finally, we are now facing 3 things. You know, we want to go fully international, you know, and that's, how do we do that in the most economical way possible? How do I raise the money to do that for free of charge, or at least at a very minimum cost? To international users. I mean, U.S. users, Canada users, and English-speaking European users, they can just get it free. But now we face the problem of different international platforms and things like that. So that will be you know, something for the future. And then, of course, we always want to make improvements to the website, not necessarily to our database. I think our answers are really, really good right now. And as I said, you know, if the database doesn't have it, it'll say, you know, I'm not prepared to answer this question, but, you know, here are some sources you might turn to. It'll say something like that. But we are notified when it can't answer, something's outside the database.
Okay.
We ignore anything like, well, how deep is the Pacific Ocean at the Marianas Trench or something? You know, that's not what we do. So we don't worry about that. But if somebody asks a legitimate question, theologically or scientific, you know, a faith-science connection, we do want to know, and we'll get the answer right away integrated in there. Can't think of everything up front. So, basically, we do want to make improvements, too. We surely want to get, you know, the international coverage. We want our Hey Magis, you know, our awake signal, we want to perfect it so that anybody does, you know, you just turn on that app and you can say at 3 o'clock in the morning, Hey Magis, you know, and if your phone is on, your app is on, you're going to get an instant answer to your theology question right away. So, you know, some people, you know, they want like to cache a gazillion, you know, store a gazillion, you know, sessions. Well, we can't afford that because it's a free app, so we can afford 3 sessions you can cache for free. If you want to store some more, then you got to either erase the first one or the second one or all 3 of them, and then you can store again. But if you want more, you do have to go to get an upgrade. So we, you know, to get, you know, unlimited caching, you know, storage for all your sessions. And a lot of people, like young people, they like to cache a lot of stuff, and so they want to store all their answers. So but that costs you a little bit of money.
How many, like, what type of questions are you seeing since it's been available for a little while? Are there particular areas in our teachings that are more popular, that's coming up a lot more? What are you seeing?
We see about, well, right now, just initially, we're getting in six big areas, you know, where, you know, kids are obviously challenges to their faith being true. Most of those challenges come from a set of new atheists, or it comes from, social media stuff, or, you know, people are throwing out absurd contentions, of various kinds, or you get, you know, some of these people who, claim to be, knowledgeable scientists, you know, who are making claims like science can disprove God, the most hilarious contention known to humankind, since obviously evidence from science has to be observable evidence, and observable evidence has to come from inside the universe, and obviously God is beyond the universe. How are you going to disprove God from evidence that's solely inside the universe? I mean, obviously it can't be done. Science can never disprove anything beyond the observable universe. So, you know, what silliness, but yet, oh, it is contended all the time. So I'll just call that whole group of things. Jesus is basically originated with an Egyptian cult, you know, or something. Absurd contentions. Mm-hmm. But our kids who don't quite have critical apparatus developed yet, they think, wow, I didn't know that. Now just please say, hey, Ma, just an ask. You know, don't believe the challenges stuff. Number two, there are a lot of curious kids. I was one of them when I was that age. I wanted proof, you know, and you know, proof of God from philosophy, proof of God from science, proof of an intelligent creator from contemporary cosmology, proof of life after death from near-death experiences and terminal lucidity, proof of life after death and transphysical soul from other, philosophical approaches, proof of, Jesus Christ. I mean, that Shroud of Turin is unbelievable. This, I'm telling you, the information we got on the Shroud of Turin here is mind-blowingly complete. I mean, there's just, I've taken everything, absolutely everything scientifically on this Shroud. It is over, the preponderance of evidence is overwhelming. And if these kids want it, they can just keep going. Wow, you mean the radiation would have to be of this kind and it would have to last this long and it only involves 1/10 billionth of the particles in the man's body? And how did you get that? So you can just say, yeah, hey, how do we know that number? And it will tell you, here's how the calculation is made. And you just keep going and going and going, and I'm telling you, the depth that you can get to, why did that carbon dating happen? You know, and then it talks about the neutron emissions and the precise amount of neutrons that emanated from the body, how nitrogen 14 combines with those neutrons emanating from the body to turn into carbon 14, which of course then the measurable carbon 14 in the cloth goes skyrocketingly high, which throws off the dating. But you can tell, you know, from Monte Carlo, end particle software, you can tell right away, you know, why it went up to exactly the date between, 1260 and 1390. That's why the carbon dating was done from that spot, that 8-centimeter sample at the bottom, near the feet of the cloth, near the edge of the cloth. And you can tell this is the exact amount it should have gone up from the extra C14 created by the neutron emission. All those things. So that's a second big area. Kids want to know. And they're like my little nieces, you know. They just go, why is that? Why is that? Well, why is that? And the great
why?
Part about
why?
The gap is,
why?
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's designed to answer. Here's the answer. And just keep going in multiple back and forth chats. So you can do that right away. And the third big area that we have is definitely, it's the moral area. No question.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
They want to know, does the church hate homosexuals? Does the church hate transgenders? Or some related question like that. And the app is absolutely designed to answer them with good data from peer-reviewed medical studies, from psychological studies, psychiatric studies, sociological studies, et cetera. So from Pew, Archives of General Psychiatry, et cetera. So it gives really good, reasonable answers so you can see the health risks that are involved in this. You just can't, a male body just can't be absorbing tons of estrogen, especially in the male brain. What's it going to do? It's going to distress you. You are literally putting in, you know, a hormone that these cells and their design are not prepared to take. Of course, it causes a great deal of emotional stress. Same thing with just flooding a woman's brain meant for that estrogen with testosterone. I mean, are you?
Yeah, you don't
me?
Have to be a PhD like you, or you know, a medical doctor or a bioethicist to figure that out. That's just common sense. What are you putting into your body? What kind of reaction are you going?
Yeah.
What do you think you're going? Why don't you think you're not going to have a bad reaction? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, the
Father, I could talk to you forever. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I want to encourage folks to check this out. Magis AI. TheMagisCenter.com. There's a great explanation of it. This is such a great resource, especially at a time where our Holy Father is talking to us about continuing our education, both in school, in the home, in the family. So important. As Father Hardin said, educate, educate, educate. We'll be right back. Short week this week, but never a dull moment in learning more about our faith. And wow, what an hour with Father Spitzer. Can you believe him? He's just so knowledgeable. And what a gift he is to the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith, as well as this new app from the Magis Center. You can check it out on their website. And speaking of gifts to the church, my dear friend and convert to the faith, Steve Ray, always thinking things through, even though he's been in the church, I think now, for almost 30 years, he's always giving us a new take on the rosary. We went through a whole series of different rosary discussions with him in October for the month of the rosary. And now, because we are still in November, a few days left, he wants to talk with us about purgatory. He says he has a unique twist on purgatory as a convert. Can't wait to hear that. And he'll also, I'm sure, review the verses in scripture. Even though the word purgatory is not in there, certainly the whole idea and concept of this purgation, this process that we go through, is certainly scriptural. And then I'm really looking forward to talking with Archbishop Coakley, who is the new head of the USCCB. He'll be joining us in the first hour of the program to talk about his role and what he hopes to accomplish, some of the problems he's seeing in the church that need to be addressed, and what the bishops are hoping to do in the new year to come and beyond. So again, Steve Ray and Archbishop Coakley from Oklahoma City. That is in the first hour. The second hour, it's a Tuesday, and that means, of course, we are going to have the Newman Guide News with our friend Kelly Solomon. Always so much to talk about with Kelly. She always comes with great ideas. So again, we want to make sure you listen to the first and second hours tomorrow. Steve Ray, Archbishop Coakley, and then our Newman Guide News with Kelly Solomon. Have a great Monday. God willing, talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao.